Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
So glad I can say that even when I don't feel victorious, he's always victorious. Even when I've lost, he always wins. And so when I don't have it together, I can cling to the one who has it all together. That's who my Jesus is. He's never lost a battle. He is definitely infinity and zero. His record is clean. He is undisputed. And so I can depend. I can't depend on myself. I can't depend on my talents. I can't depend on my riches or my resources or my energy. But I have him. I have him. And that's all that matters. That's all that really counts. You see, because when he's undefeated, that makes me undefeated. Because I'm just tagging along with him. Yes, amen. Well, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for the opportunity to be here. Pastor Hansen is, the doctor has told him he needs to get his strength up. And so I'm here. I'm here to preach the word of God. And I'm so grateful for Portland Pentecostals, this family, this body has been such an amazing strength to me and my family, especially these past 3 months. God has been good to us. We're going to start here, John chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. All right, John chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, and we're following that up with the next two verses right after that. So they're just kind of like back to back to back. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, which is John, and came to the sepulcher, or the tomb. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. 1 Kings 19, 9 and 10. You guys that have hard copies of the Bible, you're flipping. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Luke 17, 34, 36. Get rolling, I'll wait. I know it's not the Bible if it's on the screen, so. That was for you, Joe. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. In reality, these three scriptures that I just read are barely related, except for in this one specific area. We're talking about situations, New Testament and Old, where people were left behind. Now, this is not an end time prophecy seminar. I'll spare you that. Trust me, that is not me. There's guys that are super good at that. I'm not one of them. And so we let them do that. We're going a different direction with this. And we're just going to talk about this subject, or I'm just going to call it On Our Way. Or title I probably like better, Get in the Car. We can be seated. Probably part of this was inspired because the kids and I have been trying to do road trips for the past few months, trying to just kind of connect as a family and get out and make some memories. And here's what happens. Here's what happens a lot of the times with the kids. Sorry, kids, I'm talking about you here. So you guys will be in Sunday school, I think, on the next thing, and so you don't have to endure this. I can tell the kids, okay, we're going to leave at 8:30 be ready at 8:30. And then at 8:20, what happens? I get the duffel bag. I get the snacks. I get the stuff. And I'm going out to the, and I hear 4 feet sprinting behind me. Dad, don't leave us. It's 8:20. I'm just getting the stuff. Okay, you guys got 10 minutes. It's fine. And then what do? I go down. I got to get the water for everyone. I've got to get the things, and I've got to bring all the stuff. And it's 8:25, and I go out, and I open the door to go out to the driveway. What happens? Feet are running behind. Dad, don't leave us. My kids are in a constant state. I could be going to the pharmacy. I could be going to the post office. I could be going to the bank. And the kids always think that I am constantly going to sneak in a quick trip to Disneyland. They don't want to miss out. Anyone ever hear that? The FOMO is what they call it, right? The fear of missing out. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. I got to, okay, we're running. So the fear of being left behind is the one battle. Here's the other one that some of you parents or some of you people that have family members of any kind might be able to relate to. It's 8:30. Okay, everyone march out to the car. Oh, no, wait a second. It's 8:30. We had this planned. It's 8:30. Okay, well, I forgot. I've got to go get my thing. I got to go get my book. I had this drink. I have snacks that I wanted to, and they're running back, and it's like, now it's 8:35. We're going to be late. I'm very focused on punctuality to a neurotic level. And so that's actually probably not their hang up. It's probably actually mine. But yeah, it's like, I told you 8:30, have your stuff together. I got to get my shoes on. What? What was your plan? How did you plan to attack this moment? Okay, now it's 8:35, your shoes on, we got knots all happening in the shoes, and can you help me get the knots out? Yeah, man, you know, okay. So this is what we have. We have Peter here. We see the poor man. He's already gone through the deal of, get thee behind me, Satan. He's now, finally, he has just a glimpse of this hope. Oh, that Jesus is risen, and he's running, and he's fallen behind. And can you imagine what Peter felt like after he knew that he had denied Jesus? And then you have this thing where you have a little bit of hope. And then that, you know, we've heard that scripture said where they said, the angel said, you know, tell the disciples and tell Peter to go meet in Galilee. And I think we understand that probably was a necessary thing, because at that point, I think Peter probably felt very defeated. And had that feeling of, hey, you know, I'm a step behind all these other guys. There's these 10 other guys that are in the group, and it's like, in reality, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. In the same conversation where Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, he said, no, you're a rock, you're something that's strong and steady, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Peter was not left behind. He was there leading the charge at the day of Pentecost. He was there in Samaria when the gospel and the Holy Ghost was preached. And when they got the Holy Ghost in Samaria, he was there laying hands on those people. He wasn't left behind. And when we're talking about the Italian band in the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Peter was there. He was there preaching the message. And so I think a lot of times we think we're going to be left behind. We think we're a step behind. We think that we maybe just need to pull it a little bit more together, and then things will be perfect and we'll have it all figured out. And in reality, even the great apostle Peter faced some of these same issues. We look at Elijah. You know, Elijah is considered by the Jews to be the greatest Old Testament prophet. And here he is in a cave. And I think it's really easy to step back. This is what I'll do, is I'll take shots at these guys and be like, yeah, you know, Elijah. In reality, look at the dude's resume. I mean, like, yeah, Elijah, he didn't get it figured out. He didn't get it together because, you know, he wasn't spiritual enough. But in reality, I probably should look in the mirror. But here he is, he's in the cave, and he's saying, I am the only one. I'm all that's left. That really wasn't true, and God was not through with Elijah. He said, but I've got you need to anoint this king. You need to anoint this prophet to be your successor. I've still got plans for you. You've got still stuff to do in your ministry. But you have to get out of the cave and walk off this mountain. And so we have a lot of times the fear of forgetting something or a fear that we don't have it together enough. And sometimes we just got to get in the car. And there's reasons why. So in comparison to the holiest of gods, I think probably we're all a little bit unprepared sometimes. I'm not justifying your hang-ups, man. But let me tell you, you got them, I got them. There are things sometimes, man. There's struggles. And those aren't always sin struggles. They're just struggles. They're life struggles. And so, I mean, sometimes they are sin struggles. Sometimes it's messed up, and sometimes you're figuring it out. But we serve a God that it says that the multitude, they came unprepared. They came to hear him. They were hungry for a word from God. So they come and they follow Jesus. But they walked all the way out there into the scorching hot sun, didn't have any food with them. Not a good plan, right? And why isn't he justified in saying, hey, you know, that's on you. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is like, I'm like that. Jesus isn't like that. And so he prepared a meal for these guys out of nothing, out of basically nothing. He had such scant resources, but God made something out of it. One of the greatest miracles that happened in Jesus' ministry was when he was on the way to another miracle. When we're talking about the woman with the issue of blood, he was already going a certain direction. So in Luke 8, we see the story of this woman who probably kind of interrupted and it wasn't perfect. The timing was wrong and, you know, really he needed to get over here to do this thing. But Jesus didn't say, hey, you know, you can't do this to me. I've got stuff to do. You should have planned better. My grandpa worked at a mechanic shop, first job I ever had, man. Dear man of my life. I'm 14 years old and I'm scrubbing grease off the walls and off the floor. And he used to have that. He had the bumper sticker that was just right on his front counter, and it said, lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Just make it clear right now. We're like, yeah, the engine blew up last week. It's like, I got somewhere to go tomorrow. Where were you last week, man? Like, well, you should have planned this out. Go rent a car, because I'll see you in a month. And so that's how I was raised, honestly. Was I was like, man, that's where it goes. That's on you, bro. Yeah. Deal with it. Yeah. And here we see Jesus saying, who touched me? Wait a second. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to minister to this woman. Matthew 7 and 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And it's true, even as ordinary human Christians, we should know how to convince others and to see beyond the attitude, overlook the past, downplay the faults. We can look at others, we see some flaws. And the spiritual ones who see people that need restoration can restore them. And we should be restoration minded and be able to say God's still working on them. And trust God enough to let them in the car. So beyond that, God knows how to give good gifts. So we're switching gears now. We're getting in the car. I need chairs. I need like six of them. I know. I'm supposed to let other people do the job. Six of them. Three rows of two. You guys can social distance these things if you want. I don't, you know, whatever people feel comfortable with. I don't know, are you? The tape. Pastor Hanson, don't go anywhere. Get in that passenger seat. Do I have any other volunteers that will come get in the car? I know Sissy said she wanted to come. Someone's going to have to sit on some people's laps. No, you can't be in the driver's seat, man. That's Jesus' seat. That's Jesus. Come on, man. We can't. As much as it is, you know, we want to present it as, you know, he's in charge. He's in control. Okay. We got gifts. Elisha, you want up in this last seat? For preacher's kids, man. They got to be the example, good and bad. It's not even fair. Not even fair. So God's given good gifts to his children. He knows how to give the right gifts. We're starting right here. Hebrews 13 and 7. We got this. I didn't get you just the city of Portland. I got you the entire state of Oregon. Hold on to that. So here we are. We have a navigational resource, because where you're going is just as important as that you're going. And because getting in the wrong car is dumb. I remember before MapQuest, I used to build houses before I built houses on the computer and drafting and stuff. I used to build houses, and we would have to basically, hey, you know, it's in the, and the thing about new houses, they don't have addresses. And so they couldn't just tell you, oh, it's this address and go to this number. No, it'd be like the third house. We're going to this new subdivision in Gresham, and you take a left, and then you take a right, and then you take a left, and a left, and a right, and a left, and you're in the cul-de-sac, and that's the house that's being built. And then you go there, and there's 17 different crews. And you're just looking for a familiar truck or a familiar air compressor or something. Nothing worse, embarrassing. I'm driving all over town calling my boss. I'm sorry, man. I thought I had it. So we have a navigational resource, and it's called the Bible. We're not just lost wandering around. And so this scripture right here, it's Hebrews 13 and 7, says this. I like this. Usually we quote the kind of the other version of this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Or in other words, consider the results of their lifestyle. And so we've got Pastor here. He is there with the map. He's teaching the Bible to the people. We're in the car. We're teaching the Bible. Follow. We're following. Okay. And we all know that the people, this is Jesus. Jesus is here. You can't see him with human eyes, but you can perceive him if you're spiritually gifted here this morning. He's here. But we all know that the passenger seat, what's that always? I mean, before the phone or whatever, that... Yeah, and that's the navigator, right? Yeah, you always used to have the map, Gavin, in the thing, the visor, that little, you fold it down, the map falls out, and you start unfolding this thing, and then they tell you all kinds of stuff. Man, where do I take the next turn? Where's the national park? Where's the thing? So considering the results of their lifestyle, and so we're saying, Pastor, you know, I teach me how to live and follow in his example. But we have something here, and this is something that you're going to hear preached here over this pulpit. And that is another thing. Who wants the next one? Huh? This? Okay. Right here. What does that say?
Repentance.
Repentance. Repentance. Repentance. This is a good starting spot for our journey. Now, I'm talking, now, stick with me here. We're already in the car. We're in the car, and sometimes... people got issues, people got stuff, or sometimes they're believers and maybe they've fallen away from God, or they're believers and they're still in the church and they're struggling, but you still have a place of repentance that you can go. Mariah, dig into that thing. What do you got there? Show me what you got inside there. Hand sanitizer. Hold on to that. Okay. I got to figure out what my corresponding verse is with that. Psalm 24:4. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead on you guys. He that hath clean hands and a pure, who's going to ascend up to the holy hill of God? He has clean hands and a pure heart, who not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. What else he got, Mariah? Oh, okay. Okay, we're stepping back to Psalm 19:14. Toothbrush. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. These are things, these are tools, these are things that we bring along on the road. And if you haven't brought them, if you forgot them back at home, we got them here. We got them here. So I don't know, what else do we have anything? Okay, shave yourself from this untoward generation. I don't have a verse for it. It's just something else that you bring. Okay. Who's next? All right. Sister Trina. Fellowship. We've got fellowship. This is not just any Snickers. This is a sharing size Snickers. Now, if you're like me, you get this and then, yeah, you go, you stop by the AM, PM, you grab this thing and you're like, I don't feel like sharing today. Sharing size, you know why they do that, right? Except the nutrition facts on the back, they can say it's 2 servings. Yeah. Look like 1 to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and then we'll do 14 after that. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or encourage one another, even as you're also in the habit of doing, is what that's really saying. Verse 14, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's what we have when we get in the car. If you stay at home, you're probably not going to get this stuff, but we got cool stuff in the car. So get in the car. All right. Time is hastening on. So we're going to 2 Peter 1:5. I don't want to just remain how I am. The thing is, I go into church and we hear people say this, and there's nothing wrong with this. They say, man, I got to get my family together. I got to get my life together. I need to grow as a person. I need to progress. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in depression. I'm stuck in hurt. I'm stuck in this broken relationship that just shattered my soul. And so I need to get out of that, and I want to progress. I'm going to grow as a person. Who's next? No, sissy, you can't be next. All right. Discipleship. What does it say on the other side? Growth. Discipleship and growth. We got them in the car. If you stay home, you can't have it. Sorry. Discipleship and growth are in the car. I don't want to just remain how I am. I need to grow personally, spiritually. I want to grow. I want to progress from where I am. And trust me, I really want to progress from where I am right now, because we're desperate. We're desperate. We need the help of God. That's what discipleship is all about. And so when we're talking about home Bible studies, someone come up to you, maybe you're new, and says, hey, you know, we can go over and visit at my house or at the coffee shop. And we can have a Bible lesson every single week and an evening that's free for you. Take them up on that. And you're saying, well, I don't know how to get in this car. That's how you get in the car right there. Get in the car, man. Because someone's going to come side by side with you, and they're going to teach you about the Word of God. And you're going to progress. You're going to have growth in your life. So mentoring, discipleship class, these things that we talk about, we're not just talking about them because we want to be busy. And we want extra stuff to do because we have all this extra time and energy. No, it's because we want to see people grow. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's a benefit that you have when what? When you get in the car. We can talk about it all morning long. We can run around trying to grab all the stuff we need. But sometimes you just got to lock the door, go out to the driveway, and get in. This may have been a recent conversation that we had at my household. So, okay. This is the one I forget the most. When I'm loading stuff up and I'm trying to get in God's car and head to his destination, I'll plead guilty. This is for Elisha. What do I got here, Elisha?
Joy.
Joy. This may not end well. I brought doubles of everything because I figured that you guys might eat those, honestly. So if you, yeah. Yeah, and don't eat the map. I know in the book of Revelation, they say the thing. Don't, no. No. And I only bought one because that was expensive, man. You can't get paper maps anymore, man. I had to fight to get that. 1 Peter 5. And we're going to 5 through verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Anyone agree with that right now? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't see him. I can't see him. There's so much that I haven't seen. There's so much that I want to see that I haven't seen yet. And yet, still on this journey that we're on, there's still joy. There's still joy. And I think a lot of times it's easy to go running out the door and be busy about the things that you got to do, and you forget your joy. And so, like I said, I bought multiples. And you run out the door and you're like, I gotta do something for God. I gotta encourage somebody to live for Jesus. And it can be so worth, especially in this generation, this culture that we're in, sometimes you're pushing so hard to get there. And it's like, better love Jesus or I'm gonna punch you right in the face. And it's not doing anyone any good, man. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If I spent, because think about it, okay? Man, we got people out in the streets, man. We got riots, we got protests, we got fires, we got the Rona. We got the government, we got politics. We got all these people's opinions. And if I picked and just spent one day being mad at each one of these things, I would be mad for every day for the rest of my life. And I ain't got to live like that. I don't have to choose that. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen him yet. But I choose joy. I choose joy. If we get the musicians to come, man, we're wrapping up. But you've got to get in the car. You've got to get in the car. And if you're in the car, stay in the car. Because we're going somewhere. Man, I know people are angry. People are frustrated. Man, sometimes I am too. There's so much grief and there's so much pain. Sometimes can't hardly get along with each other. But hold on. We're on our way. We're on our way. We're going somewhere. We're not just fooling around. We're not just wasting time and spinning clock, hoping that someday someone else who has it all together is going to come take the reins, and then all of a sudden maybe things will be all right. No, we are the chosen generation. We are the peculiar people. And so embrace it. It's all right to wrap your arms around it and say, that's me. That's me. One more verse. Pastor Hansen always tells us this one. It's not about you, man. It's not about you. It's about him. But I got something better than it being about you. John 14 and 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's better than being about you because I'm a mess. It's not about me. It's for me. He's preparing a place for us if we could all stand. I want you to remember that. And that's not selfish, man. That's biblical. My kid's thinking, oh man, dad's had it out. Dad, he's about to go. He's about to get in the car and he's going to leave me behind. What they don't realize a lot of times is Elisha, Mariah, that trip, the trip is for you. I planned that whole trip around you. It's for you. We're doing it for you. I'm not about to leave without you. And that's what God is saying right now, that it's for you, that this is for you. He has plans for you. Don't give up because we're going somewhere. We're on our way. If people want to come to the altar, if people want to...